You're listening to the NetMums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Jennifer Howes. On this week's show...
It's okay to be different. We are different. We do think differently. We process differently. We see and hear the world completely differently. And it's not a bad thing.
But before all of that... Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode. I am feeling just a tiny bit springy, people. Just a bit. There's like that little nubbin of spring outside and it's giving me hope that winter's just gonna get lost and spring is coming. And we've got a very chirpy, springy guest on today who I think, well, Jen, you do the spiel. Tell us about this lovely lady.
Well, today's guest is someone... from whom we can all learn a thing or two. I think we will during this podcast. She is an author, model, and autism ambassador, a mom to three autistic children, and has appeared on The Real Housewives of Cheshire, Loose Women, Steph's Packed Lunch, This Morning, and Good Morning Britain, as well as The Games last year. Now she has written a debut children's book called Amazing Me, Amazing You, which we'll be talking a little bit more about. Welcome to the NetMums podcast, Christine McGuinness.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone.
Those who listen to the podcast often know that I am not often at a loss for words. Christine, right now I am, where the hell do we start? There's just so much to talk about. Let's start with the book, because the book made me go a bit wibbly, wobbly, squishy. It's so sweet. It's kindness, it's friendship, it celebrates diversity, it's about inclusivity. Can you tell our listeners who've not had a look what your book is about?
So this is a book about inclusivity. It's a children's book. It's my first children's book. I love to write and I love to read to my three children. And I wanted to do something that was very personal from our own experiences of autism, mostly for my children to be able to recognise themselves in the characters in the book, as well as all other children, of course. And for the children that maybe don't know about those with additional needs and don't know about those who are autistic, for their parents and carers to be able to help explain why some of the characters in the book are the way they are in a really child-friendly way.
Yes. Yeah, so Christine, so the book's published on the 2nd of March. What made you decide to write it now? And how do you see families really using this book? You know, how will it help families?
I've always loved to write. I've journaled since I was a teenager. I wrote my first book last year. And like I said, this is my first children's book. And I've done it to help educate, to help autistic children feel fully included and understood and accepted. This book isn't just for children. I think the adults reading the book to their children will learn a lot and may pick up some of the signs and symptoms of autism that they may not know about. I'm hoping that it helps teach anyone and everyone, and it's not just for autistic children. This book is for neurotypical children too, to ask questions, to open their minds, to help understand others. There might be, you know, other children in the classroom that they may see things similar in the characters in the book, and they'll understand why that child is like that, and it might just help them be more patient and more understanding. So it really is a book for everyone, but on a very personal level, I wrote it very much for my three children, for them to be able to see themselves in a children's book.
You've just said that you like to journal, Christine. What do you write about? I try to journal and I'm just like, nah, doesn't work. Never managed to do it. What do you write about?
A lot of my thoughts. I've always done it on and off, but more so the last year, I've journaled an awful lot. A lot of my thoughts, things that, you know, I think, should I talk about that or not? And when I've got a question, then I tend to stay quiet. But writing it down is almost a way of getting it out and keeping it as a memory. I don't look back at it an awful lot. I tend to just keep writing. And a lot of my thoughts, sometimes I get confused about myself. And by writing it down, I can read over it until I understand it. I find it really helps. It helps me switch off. And it's just something that I enjoy to do.
I have to say, I completely agree, Christine. I've kept a journal since I was a teenager. And sometimes I do look back and it's just painful because of the utter rubbish that I write. What I'd like to know, do you have like a special pen or special types of notebooks you like to write in, or do you just write on whatever is around?
No, do you know, I'm extremely scatty with my writing, but I love that and I embrace it now. I used to, as a teenager and throughout my 20s, it would just be any piece of paper, any notepad. If I had a thought, I'd just write it down wherever and things would be lost all over the place. And it used to drive me mad that I wasn't more organised with it, that I didn't have a diary like other people that like to write diaries and, you know, that like to journal. Mine was just everywhere. But now I quite enjoy it. I quite enjoy finding my notes and my pieces of paper in a drawer or in a cupboard or in a suitcase when I've away in London, and it takes you back to that little memory and that thought, and that's just how I am. That's how my head is. It's very messy, it's very confused, and I embrace it now. That's all me.
Well, that's the thing about journaling, you could really just totally be yourself.
Yeah, because, well, it's personal, it's private. It's a way of just letting things out and not having to worry about what anyone's going to think, because, you know, journals of course are supposed to be kept private. So I enjoy doing it. And this last year, some of my thoughts that I've written down will probably remain private forever. Probably should be burnt, to be honest.
But I love the way you say, oh, yeah, they'll remain private. I journal. But then you leave them all around the house in suitcases and bits of paper. So they're not that private, are they? The kids will be like, Mummy, what's this?
I spend a lot of time in the house on my own or with my children, you know, but yeah, that's just how I am. I like to write things down and I'm not very organized with it.
So you are autistic and are a charity ambassador for the National Autistic Society. And much of your recent work has been about autism and this very positive message of celebrating uniqueness, shining a light on neurodiversity. What are you hoping to achieve for yourself, your kids, and other SEN parents?
To be more understood and accepted and celebrated more than anything, you know, and to know that it's okay to be different. We are different. We do think differently. We process differently. We see and hear the world completely differently. And it's not a bad thing. You know, it's like anything. When you don't understand it, it's scary and it's the unknown. But for parents, if parents are at the beginning of this journey and they've just found out the children are autistic, I totally get that feeling of being petrified for the future and not knowing what is going to happen. And, you know, you have a million questions. If it is your child going to speak, are they going to, you know, eat different foods one day? Are they going to get a job? Are they going to have a relationship? All of these worries and concerns that you have at that early stage, it does get so much easier once you understand it. So I'm hoping with this book, they'll see that, you know, all of the little things like the children jumping up and down and flapping the hands, and that's stimulating. Once you understand that actually they really enjoy that, it's self-expression. It's them being really excited and happy, and it's not a bad thing. You know, you kind of just go, okay, that's fine. You know, how wonderful must it be to feel that happy that you want to physically show it, you know, and not just like the majority of adults these days that are just too calm and chill. You know, I think my children have got it right in the way that they're so honest about what they love and what they're passionate about. And again, when you don't understand autism, you might think, you know, are they being extremely particular with food? Are they being fussy? Or are they being spoiled? You know, are they just being a difficult child? But actually, no, these are independent, strong-minded young children that know what they want. That's amazing. If we were all a little bit more like that, we'd all be in jobs that we enjoy, we'd be in relationships where we're happy. You know, we'd be in friendship groups that we want to be in. They're so strong, and I'm so proud of them. And I think those are the things to celebrate and not look at as that's difficult, that's a challenge. It's not, it's amazing. They know what they want and that's incredible. I'm still trying to figure it out at 34.
You and me both. I was going to say, what had you learned from being a mum with three autistic children? But I think you kind of just said it there, actually, that celebrate all of the things about them. And you once said, anything is possible with love, support and patience. And I think I love that because surely that applies to all of us, really.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and that everyone is different and that's okay. And, you know, everyone develops differently. And again, that's okay. I think, you know, we have been raised in a generation, well, certainly I was, where you were given, you know, these kind of deadlines that your child is supposed to reach. They're supposed to talk at this age and they're supposed to be eating solid foods at this age. And, you know, when I was a first-time mum with the twins, I used to panic if I didn't have the right amount of formula in the milk and, you know, if they weren't saying a sentence by these many months. And I'd really put myself down for it and think, I'm not doing a good job here. I gave myself a really, really hard time because the children weren't hitting those milestones. They didn't go to nursery or preschool or anything. And I just really blamed myself that I wasn't teaching them good enough. I didn't know that it was because they were autistic. Once I knew that, I breathed, I let things go. And it was quite a relief once I understood it. And I just thought, you know what? Every single person on this earth is different, autistic or not, neurotypical, neurodiverse. We all develop and do things in our own way. And like I said, I'm in my 30s now and I'm still just learning to socialise. I'm having to push that boundary myself because I know that naturally I'm not a very social person, but I want to, and I want to build friendships. So I'm trying to do that more now. And we all just do things in our own time, you know, so I'd say for parents at the beginning of this journey, try not to panic too much about the deadlines, what you're supposed to hit, because we all just develop differently and in our own time.
So you deliberately, as a mum and dad, keep your kids out of the public eye. Why was that an important decision to you?
Because they're just children and it's not their choice. I don't judge anyone that does and those who don't. It's very personal and it's, you know, it's unique to each and every family what they choose to do. We are living in a world where social media is massive. You know, maybe, I don't know if we've got it right or wrong, but for us, we really want our children to just be children and enjoy the childhood. And they don't really understand that mummy and daddy are on TV sometimes. They don't really get it. They don't understand our jobs. For them, we just want them to grow up and just be the happy little gorgeous selves and not worry about, you know, what people online might think of them or might say. And they can make that decision themselves when they're old enough if they want to do it.
But you've been at the receiving end of some pretty vicious parent shaming online. I guess, how do you manage that yourself? And I guess, in a way, that has an influence on how you make your children not appear online.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I've got to say, first of all, I am very, very fortunate with the love and support that I get online. It's not very often that I get a troll. But when I have done, this is an opportunity to educate. I always try and do a positive step. I don't see it as a negative. The biggest reaction I got about parenting was children eating chicken nuggets.
I was just about to ask you about chicken nuggets. Yes. It's on my list.
It's on our list, yeah.
I think straight away, most people would think it was some kind of lazy parenting or spoiled children or, you know, like, why on earth would they not follow tradition and eat a Christmas dinner on Christmas Day? But like I said, I don't get upset or angry about it. I think, you know, it's quite sad that the people writing those comments don't know that, unfortunately, autism doesn't turn off for Christmas Day. And yeah, part of being autistic can include sensory food aversions. I'm like that myself. So who am I to try and force my children to eat something that I wouldn't eat myself? You know, and if they're in a routine and they enjoy eating what they eat, which is dry, beige food, that's not going to change just for that one day of the year. So, you know, and I do what I believe is best for my children and I don't judge others for what they do. I just try and help and educate wherever I can.
So what about birthdays? How then do y'all celebrate birthdays? Do your children like birthday cake? Do you like birthday cake or do you tend to do birthdays more in the vein of kind of the regular eating of stuff everybody knows they like?
Yeah, with the food, we keep it very, very plain. With the actual birthday day celebrations, we keep it as quiet as possible. It's got better every year, and the same with Christmas. You know, we started off with like very, very few decorations around Christmas time. With the birthdays, we could never have balloons about because that would petrify them. The first year we got a bouncy castle, they wouldn't go near it. We've learned gradually along the way on what to do and what they're comfortable with. And where we're up to now is that for birthdays, they're happy to have some kind of inflatables in the garden. We can have balloons if they're out the way, like in a corner of a room. Minimal decorations still, food very basic, and just very, very few people. And with Christmas now, we are at the stage where we can have a Christmas tree with decorations, with lights, just in one area of the house. There's no big decorations. Everybody, you know, most people will have something in the kitchen and some candles lit in the hallway. And we just try and keep it in one area so that the children can close the doors. And I'm happy with that. To be honest, I prefer everything a bit quiet.
What I really liked, what you were saying about the chicken nuggets thing, is I think there's a lot that parents can learn from your attitude to it, in that sometimes we get really hung up on the fact that they won't eat broccoli or they won't eat cucumber or anything vaguely green. And the way that you're just so, they'll eat what they'll eat. And as long as they're eating something and they're happy, that's a bonus. I think that's a really good lesson to take away, that we all obsess about it a bit, don't we?
Yeah, I think you've got to choose your battles with young children, especially those with additional needs. You've got to choose your battles. I think it's important to try and push them in the right direction as and when you feel it's right to. But for us, Christmas time certainly is not the right time because they're out of routine, away from school. They're not living their normal day-to-day life. Everything is different. We've got Christmas music and bells ringing all over the place. You know, so that's not the right time to try and push boundaries. You have lots of help and support. Food, even in school, their one-to-ones will do food play therapy, and that's something I've done with them myself since they were around 3 years old, which is basically playing with food to try and get them used to playing with textures and eventually tasting them. But yeah, it's just a slow process with our children. I'll never give up on trying with them, but I just like to choose my moments and pick my battle.
Following on from food, you've talked openly in the past about your eating disorder. It's something I know so many parents worry about, especially I've got a teenager. You know, people who have teens and tweens, they particularly kind of feel the pressure. What's your advice to parents who are concerned about their child's eating? You've touched on this of like kind of be more chill about it. I mean, I'm fascinated by this kind of playing with your food that works with younger kids. Do you have any kind of insight in terms of your own experience or your experience with your children that you think would help other parents?
I mean, first of all, I sympathize with anybody going through it, whether you are the person yourself who's struggling with an eating disorder, or if you're the parent or carer or other extended family members and friends. It really does affect everyone. And I've been on both sides of it. I've been the person struggling, and I've been the parent watching the child struggle, and it's heartbreaking either way. For me, I didn't know back then that I was autistic, and it started when I was a child, and it was all down to sensory issues. It was never about me losing weight. I never wanted to be skinny, and you know, it was never about body image. That was never something that crossed my mind. I was a young child. I didn't have magazines. I didn't know what a celebrity was. There was no ambition to be a model or a TV star or anything. And I couldn't cope with the environment in the school canteen. That was on offer with the school meals. And unfortunately, that did lead me into having anorexia. It's taken a long, long time to get on top of. Now I understand what my problems are with food. I've almost got an answer, and I help myself. And I suppose that's why it's easier for me to accept my children, where I kind of go, okay, well, for me to stay healthy, I need to keep eating, and I've got to stay healthy because I've got three children, so I can't get poorly again. So even on days where I think I just can't stomach anything, I just don't need anything today, I'm not hungry, I will just find something that I know I'm quite happy to eat. You know, whether it's a slice of toast or some cereal, I would rather have something than nothing. And that's where my attitudes come from with my own children. When Leo is the one he struggles the most with his food. And I've been sat in a hospital with him when he was much younger. He was 4 or 5, with him extremely underweight, quite poorly, talking to the paediatrician about putting a tube in his tummy because that's how tiny he was. And when you hear that and you're having those conversations, that's when you kind of go, okay, I am just grateful that these children are eating anything. Thank God we discovered the 14E milkshakes that we get from the NHS that we get on prescription, that are full of calories, full of vitamins, full of goodness. And he started having those and he still has them now. And he's got better with his food because with those, it's helped him get an appetite. It's helped him explore a little bit more and it's helped him stay at a healthy weight. So he hasn't had to have anything more serious done. It's a heartbreaking situation, whichever side you're on. It's really, really hard. You've just got to seek help. You talk about it. I wish somebody would have asked me when I was struggling when I was a child, what is it about food? What's the problem? What don't you like? And to say, oh, it's just a bit, it's wet. You know, it's just, I don't like the texture on my hands or the smell of it's too strong. Or, you know, I'm happy to eat a plain sandwich, but can I eat it in a quiet classroom instead of in the canteen? And me knowing all of that about myself has really helped when it was time to take my children to school. And I was able to sit with the headmaster and explain to him that, you know, it was really important that my children ate and that they ate somewhere quiet. And I would rather them be sitting on their own than be forced to go into a canteen and them not eat at all. And it's been a slow process over the last couple of years to get them to eat into the canteen with everybody else. But now they do it and they do it quite happily because it's been done with care, with the right care and support.
Yeah, and they've had you to advocate for them to start the process because you didn't have that. You were just sent to the canteen and then the food was too wet and the canteen was too noisy and school canteens stink at the best of times. So if you've got some sort of sensory issue with food, that's really going to trigger you.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd say for parents and carers to talk to the children, figure out what the trigger is, what is it that's, you know, stopping them from eating or making them not enjoy meal times. Now you need to figure out how to make it fun and how to make it safe for them and how to make them feel happy and comfortable. And you will get there. You will get there once you figure out what the triggers are. You know, you'll get there. And yeah, it's a long, slow process and it's a challenge. But when you do conquer something like that, like my children now eating in a canteen, I just go, oh my God, wow, how amazing is that? Like, I really celebrate it. I don't take it for granted. It's something that most other children just go and do and they enjoy and they look forward to dinner time at school with the friends. But for mine, it didn't start off as a fun experience and now it is and now they love it. And I really, really celebrate just how far they've come.
So what's a typical day like for you as a family now that you're a single mum? How are you managing this change, the co-parenting, all of the crazy stuff you've had to adapt to in the last 6 months? How's that going? It can't be a barrel of laughs all the time. You're very positive, Christine. Tell us how it's going.
Because nothing's really changed. We still live in the same house. We're still, you know, kind of in the same routine. And that's been our choice to do that. We get on extremely well. Yes, we're separated as a couple, but we're definitely not separated as a family and we never will be. We're always going to be a family. We are mum and dad with three children. And, you know, for us, it just made sense to stick together and stay in the same house. That's not the long-term plan, but for right now, that works. You know, we're really busy with work. We're in and out. We don't want to disturb the children too much and we get on fine. So it makes sense. Luckily, I've got spare bedroom, so
I was going to say, so there are some advantages.
Yeah, great, because, you know, if I go to work, I know that Patrick's here with the children. If he goes to work, he knows I'm here with the children. And we're not having to take the children from one house to another house and, you know, do different pickups and drop-offs at school. It's just carried on.
It sounds like their routine is critical for them. And so especially for you guys, whatever's happened to keep your routine sounds really important for your kids.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the one thing, you know, no matter whatever's gone on between us as a couple, as a family, we will always put the children first, always. And we know it is vital for them to have both of us equally in their lives. We both play a very important role, and we're quite happy to just carry on and co-parent and, you know, just move things along slowly, privately. But for the family, for the children, we all live in the same house. We go in and out to work. They go in and out to school. You know, we sit and have a cup of tea and a laugh together. And that's just how the children know it. That's what I'm used to. I was with him for 15 years, you know, since I was 15. I've grown up with him. So, you know, for me, any big sudden change would probably be difficult as well. So for now, it's fine. It works.
So what does the rest of the year have in store for you and the kids? What are you looking forward to?
I want to spend as much time as possible this year with the children. Last year, I was extremely busy with work, and I still want to work and I want to focus on work this year, but I want to get the right balance, you know, and being around the children is what makes me the happiest. As long as friendships go, I want to try and do that whenever I can. I want to make sure I have little mini breaks if I can. I want to try and socialise. I want to keep friendships going longer than what they ever have done in the past, because it's something that I understand now you're supposed to work on, and I didn't understand that was a thing. I just thought, you know, you made friends and you just stay friends and that's it. But actually, yeah, I've learned that you've got to text them back, you've got to ring them.
That's hard as a mum of three kids though, even if you're, as you say, you didn't understand that that's what's needed. It's hard for everybody to keep up with their friends.
Yeah, I sit there going, I've got no friends. I haven't got no friends. And then I look at my phone and go, oh, well, 10 people text me 4 weeks ago and I still haven't replied. So that's why. But yeah, I get it now that you have to plan, like friend dates. You have to plan get-togethers with people that you want to see, otherwise it's never going to happen. So yeah, that's something that I need to work more on this year. Make sure I get a good amount of family time, good amount of friend time, and a lot of me time would be gorgeous.
Well, we will always be available, Christine. If you want to text us, we can all get together. We'd be happy to.
Yeah, don't expect to reply, Jen. Thank you for joining us, Christine. It's been lovely to chat to you and find out more about your lovely children.
Oh, you've been amazing, girls. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.